This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to adjust your anchor based on power dynamics. Set your opening number to match who holds the cards. In short, your anchor only works when it matches the power reality of the room. Anchor too aggressively from a weak position, and you lose credibility before the conversation starts. Anchor too softly from a strong position, and you leave value on the table that you will never recover. Read the power balance before you set any number. Calibrate your anchor to your leverage, not just your ambition. When power shifts mid-negotiation, adjust your concession rate, not your anchor. Definition: anchor power dynamics in negotiation refers to the process of calibrating your opening offer or position to account for the relative strength of each party's leverage. A well-set anchor pulls the final agreement toward your goal. A miscalibrated one can collapse the negotiation before it begins. A colleague of mine spent 3 months preparing for a contract renewal. He knew his numbers. He knew his value. And then he walked into the room and opened with a price that was 40% above the current rate. The client stood up, not metaphorically, stood up, thanked him, and started walking towards the door. He had anchored as though he held all the cards. He did not. The client had two other suppliers ready to go. Here is the truth of it. Anchoring is not just about setting a bold opening number. It is about setting the right opening number for the specific power situation you're standing in. Anchor power dynamics determine whether your first offer sets a compelling reference point or blows up the conversation entirely. Get this calibration wrong, and no amount of skill in the later stages of the negotiation will save you. Get it right, and you shape the entire trajectory of the deal before you have made a single concession. What makes power-adjusted anchoring so difficult? Most people understand anchoring in the abstract. You open high if you are selling, open low if you are buying, and the final number gravitates toward your starting point. That much is straightforward. The difficulty is that this simple rule breaks down the moment power enters the equation. If your counterpart has a strong alternative and you do not, an aggressive anchor does not read as confident. It reads as deluded. They push back hard, you scramble to recover, and every concession you make after that feels like a retreat rather than a negotiated move. The psychological damage to your position compounds with each step backward. The other failure mode is anchoring too conservatively when you actually hold the stronger hand. You worry about seeming greedy or pushing too hard, so you open closer to your real target than to your aspirational position. The deal closes comfortably for the other side, and you walk away wondering why you feel vaguely dissatisfied despite getting what you asked for. You left money, terms, or scope on the table because you underestimated your own leverage. This calibration challenge is what separates experienced negotiators from everyone else. It requires you to do two difficult things at once: assess a power balance accurately, without ego distorting the picture, and then set a number that is ambitious enough to work, but credible enough to hold. What you need to know before you set any number. Before the anchor comes the assessment. Skipping the step is the single most common mistake I see, even from people who have been negotiating for years. They decide on their opening offer based on what they want, rather than on what the situation supports. You need to know your BATNA, your best alternative to a negotiated agreement. This is not your walkaway price. It is the actual alternative you have if this deal fails. The stronger your BATNA, the more aggressively you can anchor. The weaker it is, the more precisely you must calibrate. You also need to assess their alternatives. Do they have other suppliers, candidates, or options readily available? How much does it cost them, in time, money, or relationship, to walk away from this table? That cost is a direct indicator of their negotiating strength. When walking away is expensive for them, your anchor can be more ambitious. When walking away is easy, you need to earn the right to high anchor through justification, not just boldness. Finally, know the information balance. If they know far more about market rates, comparable deals, or your cost structure than you do, that asymmetry weakens your position. Gather as much relevant information as you can before the conversation starts. The advanced email strategy for high-stakes professional messaging can help you build context and gather signals before you ever sit across the table. How to adjust your anchor based on power dynamics. The six-step process. Step 1. Map the power balance before the meeting. Write down 3 things: your BATNA, their likely BATNA, and the time pressure on each side. Give each a rough rating from 1 to 5 for strength. This is not a precise science, but the act of writing it down forces clarity and prevents wishful thinking from distorting your read. If your combined score is stronger than theirs, you have the leverage to anchor ambitiously. If it is roughly equal, you anchor with ambition, but strong rationale. If theirs is stronger, you anchor modestly, but still above your true target, with careful justification ready. Step 2. Set your anchor range, not just a number. Do not walk in with a single number. Walk in with a range, your aspirational anchor, which you will open with, your target outcome, which is where you genuinely hope to land, and your walkaway point, below which no deal is better than this deal. The gap between your aspirational anchor and your target is your concession space. From a position of strength, this gap can be wide. From a weaker position, keep it tighter, because large concessions signal desperation rather than flexibility. Step 3. Build the justification before you state the number. A number without a reason is just a number. A number with a credible rationale is an anchor. Before you open, prepare 2 or 3 specific justifications, market comparables, the scope of what you are delivering, the cost or risk the other party avoids by working with you. From a strong power position, your justification reinforces confidence. Based on current market rates and the scope involved, we are starting at X. From a weaker position, your justification becomes load-bearing. Given the timeline you need met and the specialist resource this requires, the starting point is X. The justification creates a logical framework that makes your anchor harder to dismiss outright. Step 4. State the anchor clearly and then stop. This is where most people undo their own work. They state the number, feel the tension in the room, and immediately start hedging. Of course, that is just a starting point. We have some flexibility on that. That is on the high end, obviously. Do not do this. State the anchor, give the rationale, and go quiet. Silence after an anchor is not awkward. It is pressure. The first person to speak after you name the number is responding to your frame, not setting their own. Hold the silence and let the anchor do its work. When you hold relatively equal power, one script that works is based on the scope we have outlined and what this delivers for your team. Our opening position is X. I am happy to walk you through how we arrived there. Then stop. Step 5. Read their response and adjust your concession rate. How they respond to your anchor tells you a great deal about the actual power balance, sometimes more than your pre-meeting assessment. If they reject it outright and present a counter-anchor that is far from yours, you have one of two situations: either your anchor was miscalibrated, or they are testing your resolve. Do not move quickly. A fast, large concession after an anchor tells them you did not believe the number yourself. If your anchor was genuinely calibrated to the power balance, a small, justified concession with a request for movement in return is the right response. I can move to X minus 5%, but I would need specific term in return. If you realize mid-conversation that your power read was wrong, slow your concession rate further while you calibrate. Do not re-anchor dramatically. Staying with the framework of your original anchor while making smaller, slow moves buys you time to reassess. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations applies directly here. When pressure builds, slowing down and staying present protects your position. Step 6. Counter a strong opposing anchor with a direct re-anchor. If they anchor first and their number is a long way from yours, do not accept their frame by negotiating around their number. Counter-anchor explicitly. Acknowledge what they have said, then place your own reference point clearly. I appreciate you sharing where you are starting. Our position, based on rationale, is your number. Let us work from there. This re-anchoring move is especially important when you are in a weaker power position and they have opened aggressively. Accepting their frame and trying to negotiate up from their low offer means the entire discussion happens on their terms. A direct counter-anchor resets the midpoint and gives you at least partial control of the reference point. When you are negotiating against institutional power, the steps above assume a relatively balanced two-party conversation. Large organizations, procurement departments, and institutional buyers operate differently and require specific adaptation. Institutional power comes with standard playbooks, take-it-or-leave-it language, approved vendor lists, procurement timelines designed to create urgency on your side, and price benchmarks built from aggregated supplier data. Against this kind of structural power, a bold anchor often triggers an automatic rejection process rather than a human negotiation. In these settings, your anchor needs to sit within a credible range that the institution's own benchmarks can accommodate, and your justification needs to speak in the institution's language: risk reduction, compliance, long-term cost of ownership, or whatever metric the buyer uses to justify decisions upward. You are not just anchoring to a person, you are giving them the language to defend your number internally. The place you can still exercise leverage is in scope and terms rather than price. Anchor on what is included, the timeline, the performance standards, and the conditions. A price anchor that gets locked down by institutional process can still be partially recovered through terms. Techniques from advanced feedback conversations around nuance and tone translate well here. Precision of language and tone carry extraordinary weight when you cannot move the headline number. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now back to the article. The four anchoring errors that cost people deals. Error 1. Anchoring to your wish, not your leverage. What goes wrong? The anchor is based on what you want the outcome to be, rather than on what the power balance can support. Why it happens. Ambition and preparation feel the same from the inside. The correction. Complete step 1 honestly before you decide on your anchor range. If your BATNA is weak, your aspirational anchor needs to come down, or you need to strengthen your BATNA before the conversation. Error 2. Explaining the anchor to death. What goes wrong? After stating the number, the negotiator fills the silence with qualifications and softeners until the anchor effectively disappears. Why it happens? Silence feels like rejection, and over-talking is a defense against that discomfort. The correction. Practice step 4 deliberately. Say the number. Give one rationale. Stop. You can rehearse this, and it is worth rehearsing. The deal method for resolving disagreements offers a useful structure for holding your ground under pushback. Error 3. Conceding too fast after resistance. What goes wrong? The first sign of pushback triggers a large concession, which signals that the anchor was not genuine. Why it happens? People mistake movement for progress. They want to show goodwill. The correction. Prepare your first concession in advance and make it deliberately small. Link every concession to a reciprocal ask. The pattern of slow, conditional movement protects the credibility of your anchor. Error 4. Accepting their frame when the anchor first. What goes wrong? When the other side opens with an extreme anchor, the negotiator treats that number as the baseline and argues from there. Why it happens? The anchor effect is psychological and operates even when you know it is happening. The correction. Pause, name their anchor without reacting to it, and place your own counter-anchor clearly. That is their opening position. Here is ours. Keeping the conversation grounded when tension spikes is exactly what the empathy bridge technique is designed for. Your pre-negotiation anchor calibration checklist. Use this before any negotiation where the opening number matters. Answer each question in writing, not just in your head. Number 1. BATNA assessment. What is my best alternative if this deal fails? Rate its strength from 1 very weak to 5 very strong. Number 2. Their BATNA assessment. What do I believe their best alternative is? Rate it the same way. Number 3. Power read. Based on the comparison, who holds more leverage entering this conversation? Number 4. Aspirational anchor. What is the highest credible number I can open with, given this power balance? Number 5. Target outcome. Where do I genuinely hope to land? Number 6. Walk away point. What is the point below which no deal is better than this deal? Number 7. Justification ready. Do I have 2 or 3 specific, credible reasons prepared to support my anchor? Number 8. Silence practice. Have I decided to stop talking after I state the number and the rationale? Number 9. First concession. Have I decided in advance how small my first concession will be and what I will ask for in return? Number 10. Counter-anchor plan. If they anchor first and their number is far from mine, what exactly will I say to place my counter-anchor? If you cannot answer all 10 with specifics, you're not ready to anchor. Go back and prepare. The bridge method for rebuilding relationships after tension is worth reading before high-stakes negotiations where the relationship matters as much as the outcome. The ground beneath the number. Here is what I have learned across 60 years of watching negotiations succeed and fail. The anchor is not really about the number. It is about whether you have done the work to understand the ground you are standing on before you open your mouth. A negotiator with a clear power read, a justified anchor, and a prepared concession pattern will outperform a more naturally confident person who simply opens boldly and hopes for the best. Boldness without calibration is noise. Calibrated anchoring is a system, and systems built on honest preparation tend to hold their ground. When you apply anchor power dynamics correctly, you are not manipulating the conversation. You are taking responsibility for shaping it toward a fair outcome for your position. That is what serious negotiators do every time. Frequently asked questions. What is anchor power dynamics in negotiation? Anchor power dynamics refers to the relationship between your opening offer and the relative strength of your position in a negotiation. The stronger your power, the more aggressively you can anchor. The weaker your position, the more carefully you must calibrate your first number to avoid immediate rejection. How do you set an anchor when you have less power? When you have less power, anchor modestly, but still above your target. Pair the number with strong justification, a clear rationale, and a framing that emphasizes value rather than demand. This protects your credibility while still setting a reference point that pulls the final outcome in your direction. Should you always anchor first in a negotiation? Anchoring first gives you a reference point advantage, but only if your number is credible. If you lack information about the other side or your position is very weak, letting them anchor first and then counter-anchoring can be the safer strategy. Context and power level both matter. How do you recover when your anchor gets rejected outright? If your anchor is rejected, do not abandon it immediately. Acknowledge the reaction, restate your rationale calmly, and offer a modest concession paired with a request for movement on their side. Instant large concessions signal weakness and undermine the anchor you worked to establish. What is the difference between anchoring high and anchoring aggressively? Anchoring high means setting an ambitious opening number. Anchoring aggressively means setting a number so extreme it breaks trust or triggers a workout. The line between them depends entirely on the power balance and the relationship. What reads as bold in one context reads as insulting in another. How do power dynamics shift during the negotiation, and how should your anchor respond? Power can shift when new information emerges, deadlines change, or alternatives appear on either side. When you sense a shift, do not re-anchor dramatically. Instead, slow your concession rate, ask more questions, and let the new information consolidate before adjusting your position. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.